5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Let me clear you enough to keep these things off. This is when I was off last week.
Oh.
So this has been
hectic
week for me back here catching up.
Okay. Let me first ask the positions that you've held. I know you were the first black coordinator.
Here, you're talking about the State Department, because I was a teacher in Atlanta City before I came to the state.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And in the state, you were the...
I came in to the state as a consultant for the visually impaired and orthopedically handicapped, a multi-handicapped, as we called it back in those days. Mm-hmm. And I held that position for a year, and then I was a main coordinator of the physical handicaps unit, which has speech impaired, speech and language impaired, hearing impaired, orthopedically handicapped, orthopedically handicapped, other health impaired, and we have still have hospital homebound. Then I have the visually impaired, which...
And you were the first black coordinator that was brought into the system?
Yes.
What year?
Even though... 1971. Right. And, well, what happened, there were some two consultants who had been in the State Department for a long, long time who should have been coordinators. Because I'd only been here a year, and they were made coordinators after I was, and I think it was a kind of a bone of contention with them, as it should have been, because they had been long-time employees of the State Department.
I want to go back to the 1954 period and early integration. One of the things I've heard is that after the 54 ruling, that new black schools were built to prevent the integration of white schools.
Yeah, all over the state. Not as much in Atlanta. Not as much in Atlanta as
it was
in other places in the state.
Okay, but Atlanta less so. What I had heard from other people is that as blacks would move towards a white neighborhood and get near a white school, a black school was built real fast to block that integration.
You're talking about statewide.
Oh, well, I'm mainly from Atlanta, yeah. I guess you were teaching here, so I guess
Yeah, I was teaching here, but the schools basically were already there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were already distinct, separate, because of the fact of the residential. Where you lived in a residential area, and so that ended up as all black. So the schools were all black.
There was no flurry of activity to improve the school?
Not to improve the school. Not for a long time, because when I can remember coming into the Atlanta school system, you know, and teaching in elementary school, that the improvement was sending you some old books.
Yeah.
That, you know, and you knew they were where they came from because in school was stamped in the books.
The hand-me-downs.
So, right, it was a long time. And then I worked for 10 years as a regular teacher. Then I went into a specialty. I started teaching the visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where, you know, you could really pick up some differences in what was given to us and what was given to white teachers.
And this is one before?
This was. Yeah, this is after. No,
yeah,
I'm
after.
Talking about 60s.
So you're still getting secondhand.
Right, yes.
Do you think there was any effort at all to try, on the part of the Board of Education, to try and keep whites in schools of transitional neighborhoods?
I don't think so. I mean, I'll just tell you how I felt personally.
Yeah.
Because it seemed to me, if they really truly wanted to integrate schools, they would have started down with kindergarten,
right,
and first grade. And where did they start?
Fourth
grade. See, that was what drove, I think, people away. Because if you had started down with the kindergarten, first grade, and of course Atlanta has always had kindergarten. And they were the only place, and there have been some other places in the state, but they were the first, one of the only places. They had kindergartens when I came here, because not children were past kindergarten age, but they would have had kindergarten if they had, you know, needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But they started, and I know that was one of the things that I used to, one of my gripes always was that where they started. And it, I felt as a black woman that it was intentionally done that way, that it was going to cause problems. And it would slow down the integration process.
What problems do you think it causes?
Because you, if you're starting with teenagers,
yeah,
and I have had five teenagers, so I know they have problems anyway.
True.
But then, you know, just problems. And to suddenly force a group, or put a group with another group that have such different patterns of everything, living, learning, and that you're going to have problems. And they did. They had problems.
Plus, it was one or two grade a year.
Yes. Which was better than doing it several grades a year. I feel that was.
But anyways, I felt it was a real commitment that would have been kindergarten to,
right. Yes, right.
How about the freedom of choice plan? How did that work?
It worked. In the beginning, it did not work as well as I think it should have, even though they handpicked. If you understand what I mean, they handpicked some of the kids that went into the transitional or went to other schools out of their neighborhood. But they found it very difficult. And there again is what I'm talking about. Here are youngsters who've grown up through elementary school because there were very few, we didn't have middle schools there. And up into high school with students that they could associate with, that they understood, and they could study together and do all the kinds of things. And then you put a few of them, and there were just a few of them, and a number of them I knew from the high school where my students went, that went to, you know, other schools. My children did not, because my husband had said enough was enough. You know, my husband had been involved in the lawsuit with the golf course. And that was at the time that Hamp was going to the University of Georgia, so he refused for any of my children to go. But I knew the children that went to my high school. They were very, very uncomfortable.
So they were really handpicked. How about the Board of Education's efforts to either sabotage or implement this? Did they make it easy for them to transfer?
And I don't feel that they did, but then that's a biased opinion.
My feeling too is that there was no real commitment.
I never felt there was a real commitment.
The sense I got is that any way they could slow it down, that's what they could do.
Yes, that's the way I felt. Yeah. And it wasn't until my grandchildren came along that I feel that they really made a conscious effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was parents, as well as, not as much as the board maybe, as was parents who said, this is going to work.
Yeah.
And they had a real commitment to it.
How about in terms of school buses? Let's say here's a black child who wants to go into a predominantly white school. Would he have transportation to the white school?
Yes, that was not a problem for the transportation, so far as I know.
Yeah.
Because I never had any of it, as I said, it went. It was only when my grandchildren came along did I know about the bus and the situation.
How about the other side of the desk? How was faculty integration?
That was, I think, a problem too. Because again, they did handpick for those black teachers who were going into white schools. I don't know whether they did that with the white teachers that came into the black students. I know a lot of them didn't want to come.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And a number of them didn't come. And some of them who came stayed briefly. And but I don't think we had as much problem with the black teachers that went into the school. And I don't know what happened as to whether or not that caused more parents to withdraw their students and send them to private schools, or even move their residence to suburban areas.
Mm.
Because I, as I said, right along there, I was not involved. I worked in a high school where we had very limited, as well as I remember, maybe four or five white teachers who stayed.
Which high school?
Turner High School. It's now a middle school, but it was a high school at that time, and that was, at that point, I was an itinerant teacher, and that was my base school, and it was also the school where my children had gone through, all of my children.
Did you get any sense at all, and I've heard this from other people too, mm-hmm. that they took the best black teachers to put them to the white school?
Right. And they did not do the opposite.
Right.
Right. There were some to a few that I think may have been, you know, pretty good teachers, and some of them volunteered. And then there were a few teachers, and I know we had two of them at Turner, who were to go to Africa with the Peace Corps, and they had some coups in the places that they were to go. So they assigned them to the high schools, and we had two or three of them in Turner High School. And as a matter of fact, after about a year, one of them lived with me for about 3 or 4 years because he had problems with staying over in what is in an area where they, back in those days, where there was smoking pot, and he was concerned about it. And just over conversation, he had said to me that he was really concerned, and I invited him out to Thanksgiving dinner one day. And I don't know how it happened, but from then on, he stayed with me in Atlanta until my son came back from the Army. And then I moved, and so Bob moved. He's no longer with us, but he, even when he had a chance to go back to Peace Corps, he elected to stay at Turner. He really seemed to enjoy what he was doing with the young people. He was an English language person.
One of the other things I had heard, particularly in the area like Cascade Heights,
mm-hmm.
that transitional area, mm-hmm. the SWAP organization was trying to save it as a transitional area, and they pleaded with the Board of Education, the superintendent of schools, I guess, in Lexington at that time, to upgrade that school, that high school in that area, so as to keep the white population and the black population there.
Yeah, there were two high schools
in that area. But apparently their feeling was that the school was allowed to deteriorate so as to speed mm-hmm. white flight out of the
yeah.
area.
Well, now I knew it deteriorated. I don't know whether that was their plan, but the school? It's now a middle school, but it did. I knew it when it was an all-white school, because when I was in the working with the blind and visual handicapped, we had a large number of blind students in that school that's now middle school, right there on Martin King Drive, on Benjamin Mays Drive. And it did. It was an altogether different place, because we used to go over there a lot, because, as I said, I was working with the blind and visual handicapped. We had meetings there, and we did use some of the books and facilities. And I knew from the blind students I worked with and the blind students that were over there, there was a difference from what those kids got.
The facilities,
right, they were getting things that we had trouble, you know, getting. And I worked with high school blind students too, so I knew about that. And then, it was amazing how in such a short time that whole neighborhood went from white to black.
Yeah. And the works to prevent that type of switch,
yeah.
to keep it as an integrated
yes.
neighborhood. So the white students were definitely getting more, I guess that's obvious.
Oh, obvious, very obvious.
But, you know, again, my feeling is that the Board of Education didn't have a commitment to integration.
No.
If they would have, they would have tried to
particularly
save a school.
Keep, save that school.
Yeah.
Because there was not Dykes, honestly, it's Southwest now. And then there was the other high school over there, generated, it's near Greenbrier. that was another school that was, you know, in an area where all whites lived, that just went almost overnight, it seemed to all black. Because I had never lived in a transitional neighborhood myself, so it was, I never knew some of the problems that they probably had.
How was it, since you were teaching the school system before, during the period when there really was a dual school system, black and white? I certainly come across enough to document how badly the black students were treated. Black teachers got less money, and students got nothing, really. What effect do you think the dual school system had on the white schools? Any detrimental effect on that?
I really don't feel that it had any.
Yeah.
I don't, because it was, and at that time it wasn't really a dual system.
Well,
now when you're saying dual, you mean this is all...
I mean during segregation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't think it had any effect on them. They're still getting everything.
Wouldn't you say that was a little bit of an inefficient system in the sense of... I mean, there were white schools that were under...
Oh, I mean, it was inefficient.
Underpopulated. And
yeah, right. And that's why, you know, they closed some. And I remember when Dykes High was the elite school on the north side.
Yeah.
And they would have had to close it except for the fact that they made it a middle school. But I don't think it had any effect on... you're talking about the students?
Yeah,
I mean, it was very inefficient, because if you've got a pot of money and you're going to divide it and you're still giving more of it over here, that means it's going to be less for this group over here with the dual system.
Well, blacks were getting less, no doubt about it, but you still had sometimes two schools that were right next to each other. One was overcrowded, the black school,
right.
One was undercrowded, the white school. It would have been...
Yeah, I had case of that to happen when we were over in the area where there was a white elementary school and a black elementary school, and these black kids had to be bused past this white school to go to the elementary school, and most inefficient, and then almost overnight, this school is DeKalb, it's that area that's DeKalb, Atlanta in DeKalb.
Right.
Yeah, and but that happened for a long time, and they began to put more money into that black elementary school. They kept making it larger when you could have split.
Why would they keep on making it larger then?
To take care of all of the black students. So that they would not have to.
Well, that's what I was,
couldn't go. Yeah.
That's what I was saying
most
before.
Most inefficient.
Yeah.
So that meant that these kids over here, they added some rooms, and they were, you know, nice, the building itself. But what happened was you took an elementary school that maybe ought to have 500 kids,
mm-hmm.
and moved it up to 1,200.
Right. Double sessions,
yes.
And all that, right?
Yes.
So that's what I was saying before about the fact that the Board of Education seems to be more willing to expand the black school,
yes.
or build a new one rather than
then
integrate.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was happening.
Right. Because I worked in an elementary school when I first began, a three-story building, and we used to call it university because it was that many students in it.
When did you start teaching?
Pardon?
What year did you start?
I started in 50.
Okay, so you were way back in the early beginning.
Right in the middle of it, and I had worked in Providence School, which is in what they call Pittsburgh.
Mm.
They don't have that school, it's no longer used, but at one time we housed 1,500 students.
Just total the black.
Yeah.
The white I've spoken to, lived back in Atlanta, back in that period, I've asked them to name the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, they name all the white schools.
Yeah.
And that's it. It was just a surprise, didn't exist at all.
No.
It was just incredible.
No.
And I guess that was the attitude.
Yeah.
And whatever crumbs they could throw.
Right. We got, and unless you had dedicated teachers and students who really wanted to learn, because you take children, of course there are schools now that are integrated that have double session. Mm-hmm. We had triple session at one time, and I'll always remember, I guess, the small children who came in at 12:30, these little tots, kindergarten, and they gave them lunch. And what else was there to do for those kids to sleep the rest of the afternoon? They didn't get sleep at home, so they slept at school. And how much could you do with children? Yeah, just a total waste. Excuse me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This won't take much longer.
Yes.
The Atlantic Compromise in 1971. You were involved in that to a certain extent, I guess, in terms of being a beneficiary.
Right.
Instead of busing, the agreement was for blacks to get 50% of administrative positions, and then to, I guess, an M2M voluntary transfer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction of the black community to that?
Oh, well, for the most part, they welcomed that. I think it was the white community that was more against it than the black community.
Even though busing was stopped with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think the black community was, more accepting of it.
Happy to get the jobs.
Yeah. And I guess you could say, that we've always been a more accepting people. When you don't have anything, you get something.
Sure.
Unless you were one of those fiery people, who would rather have nothing than take a compromise.
Do you think it was a plan that worked well?
I tell you again, I speak totally from my involvement when my grandchildren came along. All my grandchildren were MVM, and the three, and they went over to this elementary school, then they went from there to Sutton, and from Sutton to Northside, in that area, okay? And my daughter-in-law was very active in the movement to make it work. And she has been all along, because my grandchildren now are all in high school. But at that time, it was their feeling that it, had to work. So I really wasn't involved in it any more than through them. But there were some people in the community who felt that instead of us supporting that, we should have supported building up schools that were already in the black community, but my daughter-in-law and my son felt that, this was a good movement, and that's where my grandchildren went to school.
I can't help thinking, though, here you have a school system that's predominantly black.
Yeah.
That it could have been done a better way.
Sure.
And it seemed to be that particular compromise was really the final coup de grace, I guess, the integrated school system.
Right. So we don't really have one.
No, you don't.
And
busing might have been the way of achieving it, I suppose, but it would have to be cross-country busing.
Right. It would have had to have been almost, as I see it. Now, and I have one granddaughter who went through the same process that my other two grandchildren went through, and she decided last year that she would choose Mays rather, even though she had been tested and accepted at North Fulton, because it was the magnet school that she thought had the program that she wanted. But when she decided she wanted to get into science and math, then magnet school was Mays. And she has, but the other two have had no problems adjusting to Northside, but I don't know what the percentage is over there, but it still is, but I imagine in another couple of years it'll be predominantly black.
You don't remember anything at all about the early superintendents here, Ivan Gerald Jarrell?
Yes, I came to work on that.
Oh, what do you think her attitudes were?
Well, hers was the, you know, my understanding, it was a great white mother.
Yeah.
That was her thing. She had, I would say, maybe two or three black principles.
What she did?
That she was, you know, would get things to one of them was, I think, principal of Washington High, and there were two or three other elementary schools. And I couldn't say that for sure, so, you know, edit that out. But I would imagine those schools got more than some of the other schools. And of course, they stayed on her side. But I don't think she was ever interested. I don't think she cared.
About black school?
Yeah.
And whatever she did, right. She was sort of paternalistic.
Yes. Then Dr. Letson, and I guess there was prejudice against him from the beginning personally, because he had been principal of high school in my hometown, Tuskegee, and I knew, I didn't know him personally, but I, you know, that's home, and all my friends that taught there, and they knew what they got. He was, and what they were able to get when he was principal and superintendent there, because that stayed a totally segregated school system, but in a sense it had always been because of the school there, you know, that's now college there, that they had sort of prep schools that a lot of students went to, so you didn't feel the brunt of, you know, segregated schools.
But you don't feel any great interest in integration.
What's that?
You don't feel Letson had any great interest?
Oh, no.
He was at a key transitional point.
Yes, that's why he was the one who was there when they decided they were going to start at 12th grade and come down. That was, you know, and I felt that he had a great influence on that. And that's, you know, the feeling that they didn't want it to work.
No, I got that impression too. Yeah. Starting with the 12th grade,
right.
the transfers next that weren't
year,
that easy.
Right, in the 11th grade and the 10th. And we used to say it in our discussions with, you know, with people I worked with and my friends, that it was never going to work. And I don't feel that people would have fled the Atlanta city as fast as they did if they had done it that way. Well, I could be wrong.
No, I think the schools have been kept up to, I think, what the whites were expecting them to do, especially in the transitional areas. I don't think there would have been any great fight. Because I think it did seem to have some people who really were committed to the idea that it's really a community. Mm-hmm. I guess Ivan Allen didn't have much say in what Letson was doing, I suppose.
No, apparently not. And then I guess he got off, even though he was considered one of the great mayors, you know, he got off to a bad footing when he put up that barricade. Right out there. I lived in that general area, and my church is, you know, right down the street from where the barricade was. And you go, and when you think about that, and I don't know what he was thinking about, what anybody was thinking about, you know, to set off a section of the city like that.
I spoke to him, he's still embarrassed about it.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is, because he was, as I said, there were a lot of people who felt he was a great mayor. I didn't have that much feeling one way or the other about him, you know, about his mayorship. But I know that was a terrible thing.
Well, I guess everything's relative.
Right. Because it reminded me of the time I went to Germany when my son was over there and to go from West Germany and East Germany. Mm-hmm. It's the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. Got a barricade.
Right.
But you can go through in Germany if you, you know, the military have a right to go over there. But it does give you a bad feeling.
I think that was really the beginning of the end to try and restrict blacks to certain parts of town. Mm-hmm. Well, that's some of the things I wanted to ask, you know, very helpful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get in touch with your son eventually, Hamilton.
Oh,
Do you think he's, I don't want to question so much about the Athens, he's probably been questioned.
I guess enough about that.
But I'm curious about his experience in the Emory Medical School, more than the Athens.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd be willing to?
I think he would if you can, you know, if he can schedule some time. You know,
he's busy.
Really strange, it's something that we never talked about much at home, the Emory experience. We never did. But I think it was quite different from the Athens experience because of just, you know, all that that had gone ahead naturally would make it different. But,
I'll write him. I know doctors are busy, but I'll see what I can do. You have a very...